Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, near, far, wherever you are, it's Morning Combat. It's back in your face Monday, March 2nd, 2020. Brian Campbell, CBS Sports, in the pilot's chair this week, okay? Turn that into a little cabbage patch. No, that is not Luke Thomas. Luke Thomas is fine. He's not in a jail cell. He's not serving jury duty. He's a very solid human being, okay? I do not hate Luke Thomas. I love that man. This is TheAthletic.com's Chuck Mendenhall, the man in the damn hat.
So.
People have called you, by the way, the lovers, the viewers of the show, like that cool hip substitute teacher.
It's quite a little juxtaposition from your Anakin Skywalker comment.
I mean, come on. He does not look like Anakin Episode 6 when they took the helmet off, although I've seen him under the hood, all right? Who's calling me right now? This is very Luke Thomas-like. We're back, and it's been a busy weekend of combat sports. We got a lot to look back on from the flyweight tilt at UFC Norwalk, Norfolk.
Yeah.
I think I had it the first time. Yeah. UFC 248 preview as well. Cannot wait for all things Adesanya Romero. A lot of talk as well about Wilder Fury 3. We do want to remind the viewers and listeners, Chuck, to subscribe. Please get out on YouTube, wherever you access this fine piece of combat business, and leave a review, like it, subscribe. Well, this thing's going, okay? Yes. Come with it. Come with us right there. Chuck, I'm sorry for the awkwardness here. By the way, welcome to our new set.
Thank you.
Sorry for the awkwardness that you got a pair of tips over your shoulder.
No, it's fine.
I'm not normally looking in that direction, but what people don't know is that the frame had to be retaped today. It was breaking. It was falling apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, some broken tips.
I documented it, actually. I got a picture.
Boulevard of Broken Creams going on there. I don't know what's happening there. But what do you think of our new set? Welcome to Orchids of Combat.
This is great, man.
All right.
It's much better. Much better. It's like a professional outfit now.
You should see what the ending's like after the show, okay?
All right.
Very happy. All right. We are going to get into this show. Oh, follow his work, by the way. You do a great podcast called The Man
in the Myth.
Man in the Myth with Sean L. Shoddy. We wanted to promote that out there. Very solid UFC. Original UFC 1.
Yeah.
Right there.
Sure.
Right. I'm rocking a little home sweet home here. You want to reproduce the Level Up video?
I'll be
Karate Hottie. You be Holly. What do you think?
Okay.
All right. Hey, how awkward is the start of this show? This is really the worst here. Let's just start from the top. All right. What is in this cup? Let's break into it. Let's go. Combat starts now, folks. And it was this weekend in the UFC, Norfolk, Virginia, a UFC flyweight championship bout, kind of, sort of. Here's what happened. Devyson Figueiredo knocks out Joseph Benavidez in round 2, but he missed weight by 2.5 pounds the day before, was not eligible to pick up that championship title. So Chuck Mendenhall.
All right.
The title was supposed to go vacant the second they entered the cage, but we don't have a winner. We don't have a champion. I think that means Henry Cejudo is still your UFC 125 champion.
He believes he is.
What the hell happens next from this?
They shut it down, man. You know, I really believe that this might be the moment that they look at it and they shut it down. I mean, they've already lost. They've gotten rid of, I should say, a couple of the best flyweights in the world. Demetrius Johnson, Horiguchi's gone. There's a lot of these guys who they've basically ended the relationship with. This was designed for Joseph Benavidez. I really believe that. The whole division was designed all the way back in 2012 when it was brought out. Was Joseph Benavidez needed a place to be. He needed
Mighty
a place
Mouse
to be
because of
Dominic Cruz. He couldn't get back through. They wanted to create a division. And they finally get to the point, and it's resurrected to an extent. I feel like we've been talking pretty glowingly about the flyweights. They've been cracking a lot of the fights on the undercards this whole year and late last year have been pretty good. But Cejudo leaves, and now you get Benavidez, who loses and really doesn't have a way back to a title shot. Nobody wants to see that. What are you going to do? Davison doesn't have the belt. Henry Cejudo's not going to defend it. This would be, if they're going to disband, if they're going to get rid of this division, this would be the time.
Here's the problem, though, Chuck. You ready for this? Okay. I thought that would be my take coming in. Once Davison, I'm going to get very proper on the pronunciation because I'm trying to develop a good pronunciation. Figueiredo. That's not.
I don't think that's right.
Once Davison knocked him out, or once he missed weight, I'm sorry. I'm sort of like, wow, that's comical for this division. If Joseph doesn't win it, you're right. Doom is coming. Here's the problem.
You changed your mind.
Here's the problem. The fight was friggin' fantastic.
It was good.
It was two rounds
and a lot of them
of what elite-level flyweight action the UFC can be all about. You had Benavidez breaking out of this, the submission opportunities, rolling, constantly turning the momentum of that fight. You had back and forth. The early part of that second round was a war in terms of trading big shots back and forth. So the knee-jerk reaction is either fold it up or, hey, why don't we bring back Henry Cejudo and have a proper handoff between him and Davison Figueiredo? I've got a problem with that as well, and here's the deal, okay? He doesn't want to be at this weight class anymore, okay?
That is a problem.
That's a big-time problem, because if he comes down and cuts one more time and beats Figueiredo, we're in the same spot. So here's my solution to you. There's a lot of flyweights I really like. I was reminded how much I like this division. Let's have a rematch. Let's have Benavidez and Figueiredo all over again. I know you can say, well, didn't we already learn what we're supposed to? Well, no. The man missed weight. He cost himself. Let's do that a second time. What happens if Benavidez wins? You have a natural trilogy there if he does. I don't think that's a horrible idea, Chuck. Say it to my face.
All right. So this event was a kind of almost a throwaway event. Like, if you look at this card, we could put a card in Norfolk. Look down that whole card, and you're like, what was on it? It was just really this. And it was barely held together by this. It was not a very marketable fight, even with the backstory of Joseph Benavidez and even with Figueiredo being basically a guy that is like a mini Yoel Romero or something like that. Very different kind of guy.
How about the hair, by the way?
But they still couldn't really set. Now, imagine doing it again. I just don't feel like there's much of a mark. There's a lot of money that goes into having a champion in a division. Like, it's a different money set for the UFC. They're not stupid. I'm not sure they want to throw money to the, you know, a champion, you know, pay champion prices if they don't get a guy that's marketable.
Here's the deal. I don't like having a title fight headline a fight night. I don't care if it's Shevchenko against whoever's next in the division. I don't care if it's Demetrius Johnson when they expected him to get low ratings after proving he can't get big ratings and they throw him out on UFC Fight Night Kansas City. I think that a title fight belongs in a co-main event spot if it's not going to sell. Or if you're going to load up a super card, an IFW-type card in July, then make it the third biggest fight of the night. I get what you're saying on there, but this is something we've said to the UFC and Dana White from the beginning. Like, piss or get off the pot.
Right.
Make a friggin' decision. The fact that we're still going forward with this, then let's commit to it. You may have a changeover of champions for the next 2 years, but is that awful?
It's a weird time for them to recommit to something that they committed to and already started to dismantle. That's the only problem. They were half through the process when Henry Cejudo basically got the title, and then there was like a new blush in the cheek type of thing with the division. I just, even though that's the case, I don't even know if there's 20 total flyweights on roster right now for the UFC. I know that for a minute there weren't. So the division has been decimated by just kind of push brooming guys out the door. And now if they want to restore it, it's a weird time to do that given the flux at the top.
It's tough.
I could see them doing it. But I'm just saying, like, if they're going to have cold feet about keeping it going, this would be the moment that they'd say, okay, flyweight's done.
I do believe they have to make a decision and stick with it. There is an opening to close it because of how badly this was all mangled and damaged, and you got to throw some shade at Davison for not being able to make weight there. But what I didn't like about this fight coming in, despite the fight night main event status, was Benavidez is your ultimate long-serving bridesmaid, a great, maybe an all-time great fighter who is really on that short list with Dan Henderson, where Bisping used to be, of the greatest guys in the UFC history to never win a title.
How ironic was it that Bisping's the guy to go interview him right afterwards?
Very
I felt like that was just this extra little
twist. Feel your pain. Yeah. But, you know, in the end, the fight that should have happened was Benavidez and Cejudo in my mind, because Benavidez had a recent win over him in 2016. It was a fight of the year. It was fantastic. But it's also piss or get off the pot for me from the standpoint of Cejudo. In double champions in general, I like when people get a chance to win two championships at one time. It shows your greatness. I also don't love how UFC has picked and choose who gets to be a double champ for a long time. Right now, Amanda Nunes, for as long as she wants. But people like DC get stripped right away.
At featherweight, right?
Like, I almost feel like there should be a rule. You can win two titles, but you have to be stripped of one and be done with that division. It's almost as if winning a title in a second division, which typically happens in the weight above you, is your graduation into the new weight class. So from that part, it's a clean break and a clean divide. So as much as I think Deiveson Figueiredo looked fantastic, as much as him versus Cejudo is an interesting fight, they got to make a decision on the division, and Cejudo's just got to stay north, in my point
of view. No, he does. That's the only problem with it. If Cejudo was still kind of saying, like, I want to fight at flyweight, I want to defend that belt, it would be a little bit different. But the fact that basically he wants nothing to do with flyweight at this point, I think he really takes the credit, too. Obviously, he should, for kind of resurrecting it and giving it second life. But he's moved on, and that's kind of where we've left things. And just given that that's the situation, it's just kind of a mess. It was the worst case scenario for Figueiredo to miss weight because you just needed some continuity. You needed something to happen. You needed the page to turn and something good to keep happening in that division. And you got kind of the worst case scenario.
Hashtag justice for Joe. Make the rematch. I'm telling you. And it's not because I love Benavidez and respect him so much that I want to see him finally. I mean, two losses to Cruz at the highest level, two losses to Johnson at the highest level. But
I was gutted for him, man. I mean, the bottom line is that this is a guy who has been after this for so long. Never going to be tailor-made for a guy to go in there and have his moment like it was this past weekend, and he still did not get
shout out to his wife, who had a very supportive tweet out there, very reminiscent of Mr. Weidman running in and saying, "Chris is still my son," as cringe as that was, and it was cringe. Yeah. On this card, UFC Norfolk, the other sort of interesting title discussion dilemma here is what's going on at women's featherweight. Heading into the card, 145 champ Amanda Nunes did announce, "I want to fight at UFC 250 on May 9th. Of course, that's the Jose Aldo against Captain Cringe fight.
Yes, of course.
And she would like to see somebody from this UFC Norfolk card over the weekend make a statement. Well, two people made very large statements with first-round stoppages by submission and knockout, Megan Anderson and Felicia Spencer. Should either of them get the title shot next? Who should get it next? Should they fight each other? Where do you sort of sit right here?
Well, that was the entire featherweight division fighting in Norfolk. I would say, just on basic MMA math, that Spencer gets it, right? Because she just beat, not even a year ago, she just won against Megan Anderson. So the bottom line is, if you just look at that, I don't think you can make a case the other way. So it seems like kind of like an easy decision if the UFC really wants to make that Amanda Nunes is next. And if they want to keep that division going, which is even more puzzling. These were two like almost extinct types of divisions we're talking about in this card in Virginia. But if they want to keep it going, that's the fight to make.
And you can still check UFC.com/rankings. More than 3 years into this division, we still don't have rankings, which tells you a lot about it. I don't like anybody who's saying...
Not even any of those. They're not even listed.
I don't like anyone who's saying they need to fight each other. Yeah. They just fought a year ago. Spencer proved in that fight with a first-round submission. It was a weird fight. She took Megan down, worked really hard, got the submission, but she sort of proved she's a one-up on her in that case. I don't think they should fight each other a second time because you have no contenders in this division. I'd like to see the two of them eventually get title shots in the near future. Megan Anderson made the bigger statement, I thought, on Saturday. Yeah. That one-punch knockout, I forgot the name of the fighter she fought. Do you have it off the top of that dome up there?
Was it a...
Dumont?
Something like that.
I made it up. Whatever. Anyway, it was a woman in the UFC. It was fantastic. I think it showed you that her evolution has been slower than we thought. Holly Holm really broke her in. It was baptism early. Lost that fight to Spencer. But we've got two viable contenders for the belt.
It's good.
Let's keep building on that. Let's get to that point.
Good for Anderson, too, because I know that she struggles to even get in there. She has some nerves, things like that. I thought she looked probably better than she ever has in the UFC. So it's good to see somebody catching momentum, too. And if they can form any kind of cue at that division, in that division, that's shocking development, right? Because for so long, there's been nothing. So
I mean,
that's good.
You don't see one-punch KOs often in the female side in any weight class, right? I mean, when Andrade had that one over Kovalkiewicz, we were like, holy cow. And we just saw one recently, and I can't remember it. That's a great show so far. But the point is, when you make that kind of statement, she's a six-foot-tall featherweight.
She is.
And she's got a bright future, can really fight on the ground. I like to see where this is going indeed. Hey, let's slide over to what we saw in boxing this weekend. From Frisco, Texas, DAZN had a card headlined by Mikey Garcia doubling down on his goal to make it as an elite welterweight 11 months removed from his last fight, a one-sided shellacking against Errol Spence Jr. on pay-per-view. Mikey goes in there against tested veteran Jesse Vargas, a former two-division title holder, and comes away with a unanimous decision that Chuck was weird. It was closer than the fight looked, or maybe than it should have been. Yet Mikey was clearly the dominant fighter here, establishing himself as a hard counterpuncher. In your eyes moving forward, he's won titles in four weight classes. He's one of the pound-for-pound best. Is Mikey Garcia an elite welterweight?
Elite No, I would not say that. I still think that the elite welterweights would beat him right now. But he showed, obviously, his whole task in this one, right, was to show that he could do that, especially after the last fight. I think he did look, you know, outside of overmatched. He never really competed in that fight. I thought that this one, it took him a few rounds to kind of get rolling, but it seemed like once he did, it was like you could see him come to life in that fight. And especially after the knockdown, I felt like, he kind of, I don't want to say coasted, but he was landing those 1-2s, man, and it looked kind of like more like the vintage guy. His power is still showing up in there a little bit. I mean to me, man, it still seemed like he had it. I just don't know. It still feels like he's masquerading a little bit. I know the money is there, but it feels like he's masquerading.
You love his dare to be great intention. You love the fact that he took on that Spence fight when people in his own family, older brother, his trainer Robert, was like, don't do this. It didn't go well. It didn't go well at all. He said he sort of rebuilt his body. And he looked better physically. He looked a little bit more muscular. But here's the thing that's tough. He took damage to have to win this fight, even though he largely controlled it.
Yeah.
He's probably going to have to consistently take damage at this weight class to win these very big fights. And you got to ask yourself, is the pursuit of a fifth title in as many weight classes for a guy who's not about the money, has been all about getting that promotional control over his career? Don't forget, he set out 2.5 years of his prime to get out of his Top Rank deal. He's signing one-fight deals at a time. That was a one-fight deal with DAZN for options for the next one. We'll get to that option in a second of what it could be. But here's a guy who just recently was making 135 and was a killer at lightweight. And if you're a guy who relies on counterpunching and technique, and you're entering into fights in which you're going to have to take heavy damage to win, that's where you sort of go, is this the right move? Because 135 is loaded in boxing right now. And the idea of Mikey Garcia against Lomachenko is a super fight waiting to happen against Teofimo Lopez, who's getting the next Loma fight, against the Devin Haneys, the other guys who are on the rise. Certainly there are 140. He's got plenty of options, but he's a stubborn dude. Yeah. Did you think Vargas had a case afterwards to say he should have won it? I saw some hipsters on the internet kind of having that as a 7-5 fight for Garcia. I get where Vargas never gave up and came back.
Yeah.
Boxing scoring is weird, though, because what you see with your eyes can be different from the math, how it adds
up. I kind of went back and watched it again, like just kind of seeing that, because I saw a little bit of that online, you know. I don't see that. I thought it was pretty, you know, after the, I'd say what, fifth round on, it felt like it was, the fight had turned, the tide had turned, and it kind of just went that direction. I don't know. To me, that's like, the 116-111 scores was in the range that I would have had.
That's
so it didn't
it
seem
well.
That close to me. I was kind of surprised that they talked about it.
I mean, his power, the pluses here is that Mikey showed legit counterpunching power. He had Vargas on the verge of being stopped on, I think, three occasions. Credit to Vargas for gutting that out. Now, the big story here is what happens next. Eddie Hearn of Matchroom Sport and DAZN have an option to match on his next fight. And the whole idea of bringing Mikey Garcia to DAZN for a $7 million payday, by the way, shout out to Mikey Garcia there, is to set him up for a big fight. Ideally, Manny Pacquiao. Now, the problem with that, Chuck, is that, as Eddie Hearn told me last week, there's 174 people who think they own managerial rights or some type of promotional rights on Manny Pacquiao. We were of the belief in the last 6 months, ever since Pacquiao last summer beat Keith Thurman in a fantastic pay-per-view main event, that Pacquiao had one, maybe two fights left on his PBC deal. Eddie Hearn's now saying, from what he has heard and believes, that would be no fights left. And we just recently saw, of course, Manny Pacquiao signed with Paradigm Sport, Audiatar, the same managerial agency that has, what, Conor McGregor? You used to have Tony Ferguson, right? Adesanya.
Yeah. Yep. Adesanya.
Big names
a lot. I mean, a lot of the big UFC people.
Would Mikey Garcia versus Manny Pacquiao this summer, maybe July in Saudi Arabia, and by the way, you better get the air conditioning pumping if that's the case, does that move you? Would you be in for that?
I would like to see it. I honestly would. I mean, obviously, Pacquiao, what is he, 41 or 42 years
41.
Old? He's 41 years old, but if the Thurman fight told you anything, he's still got his speed, he's still got his power.
As long as he's passing drug tests, I guess we got to applaud him, because that was an insane turn-back-the-clock performance.
Fix his tax issues going over Saudi Arabia. I would like to see it, man. I would like to see it.
I mean,
where else are you going to do? If Garcia wants to stay in 147, I feel like I want to see him in fights like that.
Yeah.
That's the fight you want to see.
Jay, I've got static like you would not believe in my ear right now, okay? is my lapel good? Okay, we'll roll on. Let me know when it stops. It's an interesting fight to make. Manny can pretty much do whatever he wants, and if somebody in Saudi is going to throw a buttload of money at Eddie Hearn and they can make that work, it would seem like a resting spot. It's an interesting fight. Would I love Manny against Errol Spence to find out how great he can still be at this age? Yes. Danny Garcia, yes, but I'll take Mike Garcia if it ends up going that direction. But just weird how Manny Pacquiao can still be at this point in his career. Everybody thinks they own him or have some pull with him, but hey, you know, this is very loud. All right, nothing like throwing me off. We're going to stay in boxing for the our third biggest topic of the week, and it is Deontay Wilder fresh off a very one-sided knockout loss to Tyson Fury in the rematch a little bit more than a week ago in Las Vegas on pay-per-view. Deontay Wilder will not be firing assistant trainer Mark Breland for throwing in the towel, and he has officially sent in the paperwork to kick in his rematch clause for a third fight this summer. Subsequently, promoter Bob Arum, the co-promoter of Tyson Fury, says July 18th in Vegas at the MGM Grand would be their preferred
destination. Up.
If you have international fight week in the UFC with what? Maybe Conor, more likely Jorge and Kamaru, and a week later, you're doing Wilder Fury 3. A lot to get into on this, Chuck, okay?
You mentioned the Pacquiao possibility.
That could be the same weekend as International Fight Week. If this fight goes down in July like they're saying it, good move for Wilder, considering that we just saw him take an L as hard in the, from a PR standpoint and as frustrating, disappointingly, embarrassingly.
Yes.
Blaming the 40-pound suit, blaming his trainers for throwing in the towel, blaming you possibly for taking your hat off one time on camera. Right move in your eyes here.
I mean, ultimately, you would like to see him take a little more time off. And Fury's camp, didn't they not say that they would kind of wait it out anyway? If they wanted to kind of push it back, they would do that. To me, I would rather they take more time, honestly. That was one-sided traffic, man. You know, it's just, and it was a bad look, like you mentioned. He didn't really have anything. I also think the imagination needs to kind of, you know, come back to this fight. Unfortunately, when he made these excuses that you're talking about was right after the hysteria of having gone through it and everybody scrutinizing that fight and looking at it as just boring excuses, right? Like, and then you hear things. They are kind of the 40-pound suit. I mean, who's talking about this? It's like the David Hay little toe thing.
Yes,
with Klitschko. I mean, it's like weird. You don't want to hear that stuff. I feel like the timing is all a little off on this, but ultimately, if he has that clause, and obviously the amount of money he got paid, and being a competitor, and the unsatisfactory way in which it ended, I'm sure that it's not sitting with him well, and the competitor in him wants to do it. I could see why he's doing that, but at the same time, as a person who watched that fight, just like you did, you'd like to see him take a little more time.
I stand by what I said last week from the point of anyone saying, we learned everything we need to know in the rematch, we don't need a third one. That's easy to say, but when you're talking about a guy with that punching power, dude, like, he's going to be in this third fight. I don't care, again, if he comes in with a broken heart and an 80-pound vest, that power is going to give him a chance in it.
I like that you're still sticking up for that, because I feel like that's the romanticized version of Wilder that kind of got dispelled in it for so many people. Yes. They're like, you can't go in one dimension when the other guy has every other dimension. You know, he's going to dominate that
fight. I will hedge that and say it was extremely disappointing to see this reaction from him. And I know that, look, you have to be a con man as a fighter to talk yourself into a level of confidence and fearlessness that is just not inhumane, right? So I'll give him that benefit of the doubt. And also, the whole costume thing, as everyone's saying, this is the lamest, worst excuse ever, and it might be. I actually believe him. I actually believe he's saying it did weigh him down. I'm more embarrassed for him. But I'm more embarrassed for him that he would wear a costume like that and take that chance in the biggest fight of his career. It's ridiculously embarrassing. Yeah. From a business standpoint, though, he had to kick in this rematch, okay? Just like Anthony Joshua ahead of the Ruiz one last year, where he had the same chance to take time off. Then you're admitting, I'm broken from the loss, I'm not the same guy, and you're giving up control or potential control of the this division through the belt process. Mm-hmm. We don't know if he's... So even though he kicked it in, I wonder if there's a chance here that this is also a really smart business decision, because the fight everybody wants to make off of that fight is Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury later this year for all four belts. It would be the biggest fight in British boxing history, Chuck. It would be non-Maypac 2, non-Conor McGregor, McGregor Carnival would be the biggest fight you can make in boxing in any country. I wonder if he kicks that in, and if there's a part of him that doesn't want it right away, he could make a killing in step-aside money if he wanted to, right? Because he has the contractual control right now. Now, it's a little more difficult because since Wilder kicked that in, Anthony Joshua just announced that he's going to fight Kubrat Pulev in June in London at a soccer stadium, and that's a mandatory defense. There's always the mandatory. There's a lot of boxing politics. But if Wilder wanted to take the step aside and say, I'll just fight the winner, that could be an interesting road. But knowing who he is, I think he wants exactly what he's saying, to get back into this fight, and to he's going to have extra motivation to prove everybody wrong. I would not favor him in this fight. I think Fury has figured him out. I think Fury has figured out how to be a different kind of fighter and walk him down. I'm just saying you cannot count out this man. Yeah. As disappointed as I was in his reaction, when you've got that weapon, when you've got the biggest weapon in the war, you're in the war.
He's going to have to rebuild it a little bit. The two things that they kind of built narratives around going into that fight was his right hand and his backstory. They both stay there. His backstory evolves now, right? Like, oh, his backstory has this thing. How does he respond? But I still think, I'm not sure you can fall in love with the same elixir, which is just the power versus the technique and everything that was going in. You got the perfect fight, a perfect rematch given how the first one went. I just feel like he's going to have to do some work to figure something else out, even from the campaigning standpoint in terms of selling that fight. We're going to have to hear a little bit more from him going
as much
that.
As we're disappointed that he didn't give Fury any credit and that he's making excuses, there's still a sale in that,
yeah.
Right? If you're not giving the other guy any credit, you're saying, look, it was all on me. I had a million problems. There is sort of a potential sale in how you
Where's
market
the
that.
Where'd the line end up on this one? Because it was crazy to me that Wilder ended up like something like minus 160, minus 150.
I think Fury's he's a favorite, but it's not that large.
They've already got that.
Yeah, I think it's in the for Wilder as an underdog, it's plus two something,
wow.
plus 300.
It's not bigger.
I mean, we saw the first fight. I know that Fury wasn't the same Fury as he was when he's completely back in mental and physical, the right health, but we've also seen Fury many times, Chuck, play up or down the level of competition, fall out of shape, lose that level of focus.
True.
You hope for his sake he'd come into that third fight with it, but just what is on the line and what matters in this third fight, how often do we get heavyweight trilogies that matter, that live up historically? You get a Bull Holyfield, you get a Ollie
and
Norton and Ollie Frazier.
It's just like, it finally feels like we have a mini golden
era. We're getting closer.
Right?
I did say last week on the show, politically, you don't really have a chance to see the winner of Wilder Fury 3 against Joshua. I still haven't seen where DAZN can do pay-per-view with the traditional pay-per-view guys. But Eddie Hearn dispelled that when I talked to him on my podcast last week. He said, look, we'll find a way.
Yeah.
There's some smart people there. There's a lot of money at the table. We'll find a way to make the streaming end and the pay-per-view end come together and make it work.
By the way, that cat's had a big couple of weeks. I feel like he's all over the place.
Yeah. Well, and I'll give Eddie Hearn this credit. He promotes. He goes
on
every single show possible and stays as long as he possibly can. He loves it. He lives it. I always tell him.
It's like Dana from 12 years ago.
I tell Eddie, I go, look, you know, you're a good-looking bloke, 6'7", with the waistcoat. I know you're selling me a used car with bald tires, but I want to buy from you for some reason. You're really... You know, he really sets you up there. Somebody's going to open Raider Stadium eventually this summer. In the first big combat Super Bowl outdoors in front of, you know, 70,000, 80,000. I wonder, you know, you sure Connor wants to do it, you'd think. You'd think that Floyd might want to come out of the shadows and do it. It's going to be interesting to see who chases that cash.
Sounds like
and gets
we'll be
it.
In Vegas come July-ish.
Which is the worst. You talk about swamp ass season, it really is the worst to be in Vegas in July.
Yeah.
So, hey, International Fight Week, how about Nova Scotia? All right, there we go. Hey, let's move on to our next topic, which is UFC 248 this weekend in Vegas, a title doubleheader at the top that has to have you licking your lips for the potential, the violence, history, competitiveness, all of that. And, of course, in that marquee, it's Israel Adesanya making the first defense of his middleweight title against Yoel Romero. Can we take
you
a pause
this.
For the cause? Can
this.
We pour one out for the homies here and just be like, I think if I do this fast enough, I'll start a fire, Chuck. Can I keep going with this? Oh, my God.
Keep going.
How freaking fired up. Shout out to UFC Countdown for using a clip of us in there.
That was cool.
Priming that fight and getting it ready here. I'll just be weird here. Can you just tell me, forget the daring to be great. Forget the title at stake. Forget everything. Violence and entertainment, how wired are you for this?
I love it, man. And it's funny for something like this, there can be any kind of outcry about it. Because you do hear that, the people who kind of follow the meritocracy. I get it. You know, there are other guys, there's other fights you could make. But to me, that fight was so close between Costa and Romero. It was a coin flip, right? So in some ways, it's easy to squint and put him right into that position. And honestly, man, just the two physiques. Just by themselves, if you knew nothing else about it.
You're not a body guy, but even you are kind of blown
like,
up right now.
I mean, just as a spectacle, right? Like, you're just looking at the two guys. One guy wiry, sinews, and like, you know, electricity. The other guy's like this Hulk. I mean, it's just, it doesn't get any better. I think that it's going to be a really fun build-up to the fight because of the eccentricity that's kind of in the air for this type of guys. You saw the initial thing where Romero's doing a backflip, and Dana's what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Dude's 42 years old, and he's doing this type of stuff. I just think that it's a unique matchmaking experience. And I also think that it's the perfect fight in a lot of ways for Adesanya as his first true title defense. This is a guy that nobody likes to fight, and he welcomed it when he didn't need to do this, and he welcomed it.
And he's only a slight bit over 2 years into the UFC. To see what he's accomplished is insane. I will stand by and hold that sword up and say, all you last year in 2019 missed it. Adesanya should have been your fighter of the year, and I think if he can win this fight, and I don't care who he fights tonight, Costa, Whitaker again, he could be your 2020 legitimate fighter of the year because he's daring to be great. He's putting it on the line. You have to respect that. But when you do that, when you dare to be great, you're always towing the line of daring to be reckless or daring to be crazy.
So he's been towing it. That's what's great. Same with McGregor when he came up. All of it looked dangerous. That's what was great about it.
I heard Adesanya in that press conference basically say this: hey, Robert Whittaker, you went 10 rounds with Romero. And you can argue that Whittaker's never been the same physically from doing that. You know, Adesanya basically said, that's not what I would do. I would go 3 rounds or less with him. Well, that's a ideal level of thinking here. And look, I'd favor Adesanya's...
just that easy.
You know, when you compare gas tanks and you know, sometimes Romero has to take a round off after expelling so much. But if he went life or death, meaning Adesanya with Gastelum in 2019's fight of the year in Atlanta, love that fight.
Yeah.
Romero's a little bit different cat than Gastelum. What are the avenues of victory here for Romero? Is it just, you know, come up with some spinny shit and see what happens?
No, it's remember who you are, right? Like, remember your credentials. You are an Olympic wrestler going against a Muay Thai guy who's taller than you. What you want to do is plant him on his back and then, you know, Hulk smash him. That's what you want to do, right? But I think you also want to kind of flex. I know how Romero thinks. He's a little bit more, he likes to demonstrate his power in the stand-up. That's where the fight is really going to be exciting, I think. But if I'm him, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to take him down and just wear him out and take away his most dangerous assets, which is his limbs, man. You don't want him catching you from afar. And that's what Adesanya is sublime at, right? So I feel like his best avenue is just to go back to who he's been, you know, back in the day. Like, be a wrestler.
You mind if we dance with the old dates, right? With the one that brought you here,
that's right?
We've seen him go away with that. We've also seen Adesanya improve his takedown defense. But again, Romero is a different cat. There is a potential to take a lot of damage in victory here for Adesanya. So there's a price you pay if he can get through this for telling everyone, I am that man. I'm going to go out in the first night of jail and go after the toughest guy, which is essentially what he's doing in this title defense here. Do we see a 5-round war? I can't imagine, as much as I respect and love Robert Whittaker, and I rightfully favored him there against Adesanya the first time, I thought he was the rightful betting favorite. The way that fight ended, though, I could see that. I don't know if I could see that against Romero. I've never seen that against Romero. I've never really seen him in that level. I don't think you can one-punch him like that. What are we going to see here?
But see, that's
5 rounds of hell?
See, that's the bar, right? Nobody has done that since all the way back to Feijão. Remember the fight and all the way
which
back
is like
Strikeforce? The only guy to ever finish him. That fight was so long ago. Do you know that was the night that Alexis Davis beat Amanda Nunes in Strikeforce?
Wow.
That's how long ago it's been. Nobody finishes him. So that's the bar, right? Like, if he's able to do that, then suddenly he's done something. If Adesanya can put him away, I think that's what he's going to try to do. Can he do it? I don't know. If it ends up being a 5-round war, I don't like that for Adesanya, even if he wins, because that is a lot of wear and tear on you, man. Going 5 rounds with Romero and at the accelerated rate of which he's been fighting, and to go through another one after Gastelum and guys like that.
It's very of his teammate, Dan Hooker. We were saying the same thing about it last week of sort of like, you've just put it all on the table to get through guys like Paul Felder. Now you want Justin Gaethje. It's like eventually we saw it with Robert Whittaker.
Gotta admire that they want that.
But it's just, you know, there is a limit. There's a limit to how tough you can match yourself against killers and the wear and tear that comes on your body. I'm not saying I want to see Adesanya go into point fighter mode and try to, you know, completely ditch and dodge this type of fight, which I don't think you can against Romero because he'll catch up to you. But we are going to learn even more than we already know about Adesanya's
showman, man.
Backbone,
he's too much of a showman.
Toughness.
He will never. I don't think he's going to be a point fighter for a long time. He's going to have to lose. He'll have to lose at some point and then say, like, okay, let's dial this back and figure out how to just win again. But as he's on top, he still believes in his own invincibility in the sport.
He should after the way he survived against Gastelum, after the way he walked down Robert Whittaker. Wow, this would be the statement of statements if he was able to finish.
This is his North American moment. I think it really is. There's still a little bit of pending, I think, for his superstardom out here. And I know he's a global asset, like the UFC sees him that way, but at the same time, I still don't think he's over all the way in North America. I still feel like he needs to do more. This could be his big moment.
He could be the star of stars off of this. Saturday's co-main event is one you cannot miss, folks. We're right here. All right. It is your women's strawweight title bout. Zhang Weili of China, a rising star, will make her first title defense against the former queen. My girl, JJ, Joanna, Young Jacek, Boogie Woman.
Spent the morning with her.
Is coming. I did spend the morning with her in Manhattan interviewing her for CBS Sports. Check that out this week. Chuck, biggest storyline here is really the redemption angle, potentially, for Joanna Young Jacek, trying to become the first female fighter in UFC history to win back a title that she has lost. The counter question to that, how good is Zhang Weili? Do we really know from what we've seen so far in four fights?
We don't. See, that's what's fun about it, right? Because I think that she surprised a lot of people by knocking out Jessica Andrade. Now you're in a position where you're like, okay, you have somebody who has, you're wearing the bullseye, and you have a former champion who's hungry again and wants to take it. It's going to be that kind of fight. I feel like this is kind of the extended introduction for Weili Zhang. Like, what is she going to do in this? I don't think any of us really know her full potential yet. She's the champion, but we haven't seen her in every situation where we have seen Joanna in a lot of different situations. I think this is the kind of gauntlet fight for her to kind of figure out where she's really at. And it's crazy to say that for a champion. It's just the way it is in the division right now.
I mean, I give Joanna a lot of credit for rebuilding herself. The win over Michelle Waterson was a reminder of how great she is. She's a 5-round deep water type of fighter. But she even told me when I talked to her this morning, I mean, Zhang Weili is giant. She's strong.
So is it Zhang Weili? Is that how we say it?
UFC is now going with Zhang Weili. So they flip. And look, you know, that's the Japanese surname thing, the whole Suzuki, Ichiro, Ming Yao. I mean, look, I'm not cultured. We are. Okay. This is well. I didn't go to the College of William and Mary. All right, Chuck. This is well established here. She's tough. Can't she go 5 rounds? We don't know that. But on the flip side, can Joanna survive that type of look, almost you can ask yourself, was that Andrade fight a little bit of fool's gold? Jessica came out way too reckless.
Easily
and brutally paid the price for that.
Yeah.
I'm sure Wang Zhele, let's regroup here. I'm sure Zhang Weili could do that against anybody who runs at her full speed.
Yes.
But when she was in there against Atisha Torres, she had to go 3 rounds. She dominated that fight. I can't wait to see once it goes from the early to the middle ground. Can you want to turn that fight around like she did against Claudia in the rematch if Weili Zhang comes out so hard, so fast in the beginning? It's such an interesting matchup. It may come down to mental because Joanna is talking so much about removing the negative influences in her team, and that's why ultimately she feels she had bad weight cuts leading into the first fight against Rose and you know, the breakup with her fiancé and everything personal that just really dragged her down. She is insanely mentally tough. It's going to be stretched this time.
She's also been in this position. She knows how to handle moments when the scrutiny is at its biggest, you know, and people are really paying attention and so much is on the line. I feel like that could play into this a little bit. Like you mentioned, I don't think she's just going to go in there and throw knuckles and just kind of see what happens like Jessica Andrade. I don't think she's going to be wild like that. It really is going to come down to how she kind of handles it and if she can expose basically those nerves. Because let's face it, this is a new champion who's now coming, and especially just given the whole backstory of what's going on with Weili, just getting out of China, her travel, everything that's been going on
and on
her mind. The
gas mask poster by Joanna.
And all the bad blood, let's not forget that. There's an emotional expense going on here. It's going to be very interesting, man. She kind of plays up that Zen mentality a little bit. She likes to play the Kung Fu Panda stuff and all that. I'm like, that's all very cool, but it will really shine in a fight like this.
You know, Joanna told me she sort of took offense to the narrative that through the two Rose fights that she became this villain, this bad person, this bully. And I mean, look, she hasn't helped herself with putting out that meme like I talked about with the gas mask. But it's interesting. A win for either of them would be massive. Now, let's start with Zhang Weili. Not just the journey of changing camps 3 times, almost outrunning the coronavirus to get to like the States for this fight, but how true is the, you know, every time you talk to Dana and you say, who's the brightest star in your bullpen? And he's like, well, the last time Zhang Weili was on Chinese television, you know, 5 trillion people watched. Yeah. I mean, is this like a financial linchpin to UFC's future, Zhang Weili winning this fight?
I would think so, if it's really like that. And honestly, talking to Brian Butler, her manager, and just seeing some of the numbers, I did a piece with him, and it looked like that from the Chinese perspective, man. It seemed like the whole country was paying attention. And if that's really the case, they do have a massive, massive star on their hands. Obviously, she's got to continue to do that work, and I would think that the UFC could go to China at any point after that and host a big event with her headlining, you know. But a lot rides on this. This is a very dangerous thing. I always go with the Sean Shelby thing when he told me, like, they book, you know, when they book these, a lot of times they look at it like they're booking the challenger to win. They want the champion to lose. Now, I don't know how much that's really true in some cases. But I think in this case, you know, you watch certain fights be made and you're like, why are they doing that? That's a very dangerous fight because it's not boxing. They want it to be that. They want the flux at the top.
I love it. I love that if Joanna did win, the idea of, let's say, Rose beat Andrade, and you have that trilogy for the title. You've got Claudia rebuilding herself, who wants a trilogy with Joanna. But to close on Young Jacek here, if she wins, there isn't really a female equivalent to, like, Captain America, Randy Couture, coming back and turning back the clock. And I know, look, Joanna's not old. I mean, she's going to be 33. It's not ancient. Maybe when Misha Tate beat Holly Holm at UFC 196, it had that sort of redemption feeling of finally climbing the mountain. The key is here, Joanna's been on the mountain before. Yes. She was that close to equaling Ronda Rousey's title defense record and kind of becoming the next Ronda, not commercially, but critically, from the this is our next all-time great.
Yes.
What would a win specifically do for her legacy here?
I think it would do, so that's an interesting thing you said. I still believe that most fans who paid attention to Joanna and really understood how good she was during her run have sort of compartmentalized that violence and put it over here. It's like Rose kind of derailed the whole thing, and then, you know, it's been an odyssey since. But everybody, I think it would be very easy to access that area again. I think that if she gets through this and she's suddenly the champion, that comes back into focus. I think that it would feel like there was a discontinuation at some point and then she recaptured it. I still feel like she has that. But it could go away. I feel like that's kind of the fleeting thing, but people have not let that go, and the UFC has been very smart to kind of latch on to her viciousness and really point her out as the nasty, you know, champion, all this stuff. I feel like they've done this correctly, and I feel like that's who she is. She could get all that back. I feel like she'd be right back there.
She's claiming that there's no weight issues, that she's never cut better. I remember her ahead of her last fight with Waterson, she was sort of petitioning to the UFC
that's
in the last minute to move that fight up in weight.
Oh, my God, that's right.
How about women's strawweight? I say it, and people think I'm either joking or I'm talking about how beautiful these women are, and, you know, whatever, and all that. I'm just saying, consistently across the board, men's lightweight is the deepest and best division right now in UFC history, even better than men's light heavyweight a decade ago. But women's strawweight, pound for pound, week to week, always delivers, Chuck. Storylines, matchups, depth. You look at the rankings, there's still some killers up and down there.
I agree with you, and I think that it's kind of, well, it would be like the lightweight and the welterweight, right? Like, you're going to have the most body types that are going to fit into that category. I guess that's 125 is really what the ladies are. But you're right, man. It's always got a lot of, there's always eight people at the top that you're like, oh, that person could beat that person. And
I can't get enough. I can't get enough of the women's straw weights. And, and the only thing I'll ever ask you about that is you got to promise not to stop when I say win, all right?
Right.
She's saying, right? Wow. All right. That'll wrap up the biggest topics of the week. Now I want to get this echo out of my ear, Jay. And I want to hear from the people. DMs for Donks. People are always hitting me up. BC, hear it out. Wow, look at that ass. People are always asking me, Chuck, how do they get their question on the show? A reminder, at Morning Combat on Instagram every Sunday night, we put out the full screen graphic. Respond to that with your question, and you'll have a chance to have it read right here through my donk mouth. Let's hear from the people. You fired up, Chuck?
I'm fired up.
All right, let's do it.
What do we got?
This one's from at Roxy Depew. Maybe that's French. All right. Chuck, who has the best chance to win a rematch? Conor Khabib? Or Wilder Fury? So they're asking Conor McGregor or Deontay Wilder, who has the best chance to win a rematch?
That's a really great question because I feel like they're very similar, right? There's one is sort of dimensional against a multidimensional. I would probably go with Wilder in this scenario. I just feel like he'd have the better chance of actually finding a way to land that shot. And obviously we know if he hits you and it's flush, you're going down. So I think that I would probably go that direction. I know McGregor has that power too, but I feel like
Khabib
is too smart, man. I just feel like he's not going to allow him to get that shot off.
Plus, even though McGregor is a slugger, it's a speed and precision that sets up his shots. He's not the kind of power that, if there's 10 seconds to go in the fifth round, he still might get you out of
there.
That's true. Deontay Wilder can lose every second of the fight, as we've always said. Yes, we have to find out about his inside. Can he bounce back from his first defeat? There's a lot of intangibles, but I've said this a lot.
People were so upset, right? Like with the towel coming in, because they know, especially the gambling money, everything that goes into it, and the people who paid $80, they know that there's an equalizer that he can still land. They know that it's still there.
How about my subtle transition through that burp I just had right there, right in the air? Like, no one even noticed it. It was great. No, you're right. And look, as much as Deontay still has to establish, because one loss has broken the heart of many a top fighter, he's very mentally tough. I am not willing to throw in the towel on Deontay's chances. The Conor side is like, There's a fool's gold element to how Grady looked against Cowboy because it was the perfect matchup. Sure. I do tend to buy into that fool's gold a little bit and believe that, especially mentally, he's a somewhat reborn, changed man from the guy we saw heading into that first Khabib fight, where I would give him a better chance to persevere and set up his offense rather than gas early like he did against Khabib and then kind of be lost and wandering. I wouldn't favor him. Yeah. I would just give him a better chance than the first time around. That's fair, right?
I think that's fair. And if he fights Justin Gaethje in the summer and he's able to kind of do the same thing that he just did with Cerrone, then maybe this is a whole different scenario. Because I put a lot into that headspace, and also, like, you know, does he want it again? Because that was always the question after the Mayweather thing and everything else. How bad does he want it? If he does that to Gaethje, ask that question again, and maybe there's a
different
answer.
They're going to do that fight?
I do, actually.
That's such a financial gamble to do it. But then again, should he walk down and finish Gaethje, which we think is possible?
Yes. Out of all the names,
think of the money that you're sprinkling on top. If Khabib wins against Tony, and no disrespect to Tony, but if Khabib wins, him versus Conor too would sell in any era, any situation. But it would sell even more if Conor's fresh off of knocking out Justin Gaethje.
It will, 100%.
That's a hell of a gamble, though.
Look how big just beating Cerrone. Even when people kind of thought, well, he might be a little bit shot at this point, blah, blah, blah. Look how big that seemed when he did it anyway. Imagine him doing that to Gaethje in a big card in July. I think that sets, it's pretty much whatever he wants at that point. So if it happens to be Khabib, but I also think that all the haters of that fight would then come back to it and say, like, well, you never know. Because it's kind of, etch-a-sketch the whole imagination.
It's going to be the biggest month in Irish history in July if Conor fought on IFW, and 7 days later, Fury fought in Vegas. We're going to have, like, a Bono concert in between?
That'd be great.
I mean, do you have any other Irish superheroes?
Irish. James Joyce, right? Yeah.
James Joyce, the juggernaut? You're talking about the English heavyweight? All right. Let's roll on here. You got more donks for us, Jay? We're live, Jay. Jay, we're live, all right? All right, I'll just keep playing with my ear. All right, from at Johanna, or maybe how about at Johan Alexoff, so. All right, sorry.
Pretty good.
I mean, where are we going with this name here, Chuck? Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Who would have the best, quote, UFC combined 40-yard dash, vertical, et cetera? It is meat market time in the NFL. Ooh. Who do you think is just that kind of athlete in the UFC? I mean, good God, 42-year-old Yoel Romero might be in his actual prime right now.
He might actually be in his mental and physical prime. So does Israel Adesanya from
that
a different perspective. Like 40-yard dash, it almost seems like he'd be like a gazelle.
I always felt like Tyron Woodley was like the perfect sort of athlete where you could plug him into any other sport. I know he'd be small for certain sports, but if you plugged him into football at halfback, I would have to believe he'd be fantastic.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else.
Paulo Costa looks like a centerfold.
It's true. Anthony Johnson, back in the day when he could get down, he used to play football, but that guy.
Can we get him back? Can he kill a mofo soon? I mean, this guy.
I'd love to have him back, man.
Who are we missing here? There's got to be some smaller fighters that are just athletic machines.
I mean, guys like GSP, obviously, they come to mind. It's like, it has to be like that combination of kind of athleticism and.
I mean, Demetrius Johnson was a freak athlete.
Yeah.
Let's be honest with that. Hey, to close that flyweight conversation.
That's true. Demetrius would actually probably surprise us in all of that.
Demetrius did go public a couple weeks ago and basically was like, I'm going to end my career in one. I have nothing else to prove. That's going to end my legacy. You wouldn't like a scenario where when he's like, 36 or whatever, and he's run the gauntlet at one, and if he's still the guy, that he would come back and try to, pull an Askren. Askren and kind of come back late and just,
It'd be very poetic. It really would because the way... Dana and him button heads all that time. It would kind of be like this strange victory. His biggest victory of his career would be kind of like, here I come back, now you need me type thing.
I'd need to read a Chuck Mindenhall athletic poetic breakdown on that.
Yeah,
okay?
We'll
He's the best writer
done.
In MMA.
You think so?
I think so. Thanks, man. Thank you. Shout out to anyone else
who's
in
the best
place. Rafe Bartholomew. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
I wanted him to shout him out. From theathletic.com.
Here, my broham. All right, we'll roll on here, Jay, if you're willing. I got to hear from the people. From at Darren Robinson Fitness Star. Wow. I'd have to check out that profile, right? Here he wants to know, okay, Donks, longtime fan here with an odd question. If you had to breed the best MMA fighter, which female and male fighter would you breed? No tip to tip on this one. You know what? I think this is a secret plan here from Darren Robinson to basically play like fantasy MMA porn with us. Like, which female and male fighter do you want to see bang?
God.
I mean, so he's basically breeding factory. Steffi Graf and Andre Agassi. Probably, they got kids. They're probably going to be tennis stars. In MMA, who you got? Who do you want to see go under the covers?
Oh, Like, so that we're just straight up.
You can't watch
voyeur,
it. No,
like,
you're on the outside.
I thought we were talking about the kid.
You have to wait 9 months and years for it to play.
A kid that I would like.
Tisha and Rocky? Where are you going with this?
No, like a child that, like, what would be the child in the end? What kind of monster would this be? It would be Joanna and Yoel Romero.
Wow.
Imagine that kid.
You trying to set something up for Vegas Saturday what late night after
there?
Party? Wow. I see you soon, boy. Yes.
Oh, man. Setup of a question.
You'd want the freak athleticism of Yoel. You would want the mindset. Can you transfer mindset through?
Yes.
You can transfer badassness. Your old man was probably a badass, right?
Hey, man, Tyson Fury came from his dad's nutsack.
That is true. I mean, look, I can match up. You can match up any two great fighters, but yeah. I think you specifically want one to be a Hulk. You want another one to be precise. I mean, Joanna's pretty precise. That'd be a hell of a fighter there.
What do you got?
I'd officiate that, yeah.
You made me say it. Let's hear yours.
You and Amanda. All right.
Really?
We'll get your poetic brain.
I think she's
her great. Nina's going to step in there and make that happen. I'm going to get in trouble if we keep this question going. Let's move on to the next one. At Web Scream, how about this guy?
Right.
Have people begun to realize that the coronavirus will be the reason we won't see Tony Khabib 5 as the entire event will be scrapped due to public health concerns? Get it! Get out of here, Web Scream, with that crap. No, Ricky Bobby. No,
you know
no.
What's sad is you see something like that and you think, well, maybe that's the case. Only because this thing has been so cursed that you almost feel like any scenario is in play, right? Like anything to make it not happen is in play. Like, that's how I read that. I'm like, well, that's as good
this
as the
This fight is
anything.
Going to happen, okay?
It's
and this
happen?
Fight is going to be awesome. April 18th, UFC 249. The fifth
man.
Time is the charm. There's a reason why we had to wait this long to see it the first time. It matters so much right now. No, Corona's not getting in the way here. Although the cases are kind of popping up left. I don't want to get you on a neo-political kick here. But they're popping up left and right.
It's a lot of fun walking through New York City right now.
I was wondering if you were going to wear a mask on set today.
No, I was assured.
I don't know what's funny about that. People are trying to save their lives, Chuck.
Yeah. This is a safe spot.
Okay, this is a safe spot. All right. It's not gonna break down. From at this is Potu?
Mm.
Pot you?
I get, yeah, this is Pot you.
Do either of you have burner accounts? My guess is at Luke Thomas News doesn't, but at Brian C. Campbell has at least three. No, why would I have a burner account? I live my life very outwardly. I put the tips on the table, on the wall over there. What do they want? You know, what am I going to go lurk from an assumed name and be like, that Brian guy is pretty cool? No, like, you know.
I don't have one either. I do know a lot of people who have them, and I think it's because they get blocked by enough people that they want to have some place where they can go. See, like, so Dana White and people like that who end up blocking guys
I
like
get
me.
A lot of
but
DMs
I
from people saying, they give me screenshots of being blocked by Luke, and they're like, please,
oh my God.
I never meant him any harm.
Luke
please
have,
get Luke to unblock
Luke would have, like,
me.
1.3 million followers
yes.
if he didn't block everybody.
What are you saying about his character?
His character? It's poor. No, I'm not saying that. Yeah, he's a good guy.
We love Luke. People want me to hate Luke. Why? Why? I mean, come on.
It's easier that way.
Yeah.
No, he's a great guy. He blocks. I get it too. And I do not work with him weekly like you do. But people tell me all the time, like, ask Luke to unblock me.
Who? Didn't somebody in the Philadelphia 76ers organization they got fired because they had a burner account or their wife did or something? I saw somebody,
like
there was some police chief in Vermont just got fired with a burner account. You don't want to mess around.
You don't want to mess
Go
around.
On your Facebook. Make sure there's no pictures of bongs from, like, early Colorado days. You want to wipe that crap up. Luckily, we came up. We're old. We have old balls. We came up in a time where you could do really dumb shit.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's not.
Consequence-free back then.
Oh,
not anymore.
Man. Remember how much condoms used to cost back in the day?
Oh, man.
No, we never used them, right? Shout out to you. Great movie. I got to keep going back to it, right? It's a great movie. Who's on the 90s counter today? Jay, can we step it up?
Yeah, where's
that at? I know you're reliving your... by the way, Jay was in a boy band. Did we get into this yet?
You talked about that a little bit.
We found a picture that Jay, the classic Jay, he is a real person, was in a boy band in the early 2000s. There's no records of this. Very early 2000s, he says. He had blonde hips. He had...
Come on.
He had, like, dance moves and stuff. It's... One day we'll play it on here.
He still plays, doesn't he? He's a guitar player.
He does. There's a weird YouTube video of him doing a Johnny Cash cover with fingerless gloves. Jay, I don't want to expose you to the people unless you want me to, but Jay's got a lot of work out there, all right? He's a documentarian as well, okay? Enough Jay. Jay, you got any more for us? No. All right. Hey, it's time for the most exciting show in combat sports.
All right. We're going to do it?
The most exciting segment. This is where we search the globe. Chuck. Oh, wow.
Oh, here it is. Look at this. I love the new graphics. Look at that.
We searched the globe for the good, the bad, and the ugly. If it happened in the world, you'll see it on this show. Chuck, have you seen this shit? Let's start with UFC Norfolk. We've got a few entries, Chuck. Check it out on the screen over here, Chuck.
Oh, yeah. This was great.
Jan Kutelaba, who's the bloke that he fought? This was before the fight started. Have you ever seen him in the face-off, Chuck? Basically, I mean, we thought they might go tip to tip. No, they're about to throw punches here. Who's the bloke he fought?
Wow. Yeah, look at that. You know, this guy is...
This guy's a fireball.
He's crazy, man.
This guy is off-kilter.
You see him when he dresses, like he does the whole green and the Hulk thing, and he rips off
I have never seen something like this, and I got fired up for this.
It always cracks me up when I see something like this, where they get into a fight before the fight, or between rounds. You're like, well, dude, you guys are fighting.
Let's roll on to the end of this fight. You want to talk about a questionable stoppage. This fight almost got more bizarre. So Kutelaba's in the black, and Chuck, he was saying that he was faking that he was on Queer Street. I don't know if you've ever been there. But
been down there.
And the ref jumps in to stop the fight. Oh, look at the slap. He gave him a little little slapstick there. What do
you
think
about
that? Were
you watching this? Like, now in real time, though. If you were looking in real time, it did look like he was wobbled and he was hurting.
So he was faking.
But if you watch it, not a lot of those head kicks are landing. He's blocking most of them. And you kind of see him actually anticipating.
So are we trying to believe that he's faking being punched drunk so we can come back with a counter?
I think that's what we're to believe. But...
All right.
He certainly, like, it took him, like, one nanosecond to start disputing that. So
yeah,
like,
and can we play more of, is it Ion? Jan? Ion? Ion? How do you pronounce his first name?
Ian, right?
Ian? It's I-O-N. I don't really speak whatever that is. Can we play the next file here, folks?
There it is.
And this is what he's known for at the weigh-ins.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Love it.
How long do you think it took to get that stuff off?
That's pretty damn good, man.
Wow. Guy's ripped, too. All right, let's roll on. Have you seen the shit also at UFC Norfolk this weekend?
I got to run that back, by the way.
The aforementioned Megan Anderson went into the crowd to pull off the Aussie special with the shoey. Is this hot? Is this redeemable? Does this make you want to hang out with her, Chuck, and get tattoos? What do you think?
It was as impressive as her punch, though. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, she does two things that are very impressive. I didn't really think she'd be the one to go for this. But this is other level.
I think
disgusting.
It's a right.
First of all, I hope that's a brand, like, somebody's brand new. Like, is that a Reebok? Whatever it is, I hope that's a brand new shoe.
Some,
but I think that's like just somebody's shoe.
There's some dirty motherfuckers out there. I don't wear socks, Chuck, most of the time. So if she wants to do that with me, you know, you're rolling the
show
dice.
The
you know what I'm saying?
Let's see those.
No, I am wearing socks today because it was cold out. But that's how I live my life. I mean, she wants to play this with me. I'm here. All right.
Yeah. Well, she.
I mean, it's a rite of passage.
No hesitation.
In that country, I think it's a rite of passage.
I like Jan's back.
It's freaking gross. We can joke a lot, but it's freaking. Gross, Chuck.
That is really freaking gross.
That is really.
I don't know how they do it in Australia, but.
I mean, I've seen it. I've
been
in bars.
Virginia?
Virginia's
for
lovers.
You don't want to drink out of somebody's shoe in Virginia.
All right. Speaking of weird people in Virginia at UFC Norfolk, how about this guy auditioning to be the next Just Bleed guy? What do you look at his shirt, Chuck?
What does it say?
I love dirty chicks. Wow. Virginia is for lovers, Chuck,
man.
As we established. And this guy's an absolute dirt hole. But it did not win T-shirt of the weekend.
Careful that, because this guy will be coming after us.
Like
last
the last
time
guy
we did
with
this,
the
last time that guy was coming after
just
us.
Just direct
man.
Guy. He did not win worst T-shirt of the weekend in sports. Check out this hockey game. What about this guy, Chuck?
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
I don't doubt him.
That was more of like a life slogan for you in your late teens, right? Yeah. All right there, Chuck.
One of my truisms.
Hey, let's roll on from MMA this past weekend. One championship, speaking of coronavirus, they had an empty arena event in Singapore due to that virus. Check out this entrance. I don't know the man's name, do I? Oh, Shannon...
Oh, dude.
We
I love this face. Like, he actually puts he does the
He sold it very well. Look at him just walk away.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that is, I'm down with that. That is some good stuff.
Where
there.
Was this at?
This was in Singapore.
Oh,
empty
Singapore.
Arena, though, which is weird. You know, I mean, hey, you got to protect.
Yeah, you got to.
But, there's got to be some relatable thing here in this. Am I the kid in Luke's arms there? I mean, what's going on? This is like something to the show, right?
I can't get enough of that.
Or is that just a
I love
giant
his face? It's hilarious.
Is that a giant green dong from Eon the Hulk Kutelaba right there? All right. Also
there
in one this weekend. Here's
that
what
guy
really mattered.
Dongs. We're gonna look at him again.
Yoshihiro Akiyama, Sexyama is back, sending fools to hell. Chuck, life
look
is
that
good.
Guy's physique, man.
When a well-tanned Sexyama is back in our lives with the what kind of hair is that color? That's that's like the gray. What do you call that? The gray. The dyed gray. What do you call that?
Silver.
No, not silver.
Silver is correct.
Not, Platinum. Thank you, camera guy. Platinum. Thank you, Jay. He's got the platinum. Look, this is really like my hero. Sexyama is the man I aspire to be in life.
I've forgotten all about that guy, man, until this weekend.
He lost his one debut, but he came back with a bang, Chuck. One more time. Look at that right hand. Get out of here. Man. Wow. That guy went down in sections. Get a suitcase out. Scoop him up and get him out of there. You think you can get that guy through TSA after that?
An implosion.
It's clearly Yoshihiro Akiyama is too sexy for this cage, right? Yeah. Are you getting any Right Said Fred vibes? Can we play that in the back?
Those vibes.
Can we hit that up there? Can we be a little faster here, Jay? Oh yeah. Look, a shout out to the 90s here.
Uh-oh.
Look at these guys. I can't imagine these brothers like girls, but that's fine. I mean, look, you know, they were ahead of their time, right?
How old that looks now.
Wow. So he's a model, and you know what that means, right, Chuck? And he does his little turn on the catwalk.
My God, I haven't seen this.
Would you hang on the back of that car? That looks like the same car from the How Bizarre video by OMC, you know what I'm saying? Look at the shirt just fall
off.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to be these guys when I was in seventh grade. I'm like, these guys have to get all the girls. Turns out they don't at all, Chuck, and that's fine, but, you know. How about the brother on bass?
Good confidence, though.
Yeah, all right, yeah. I don't think you can play that bass at all.
Sexy video.
We should stay in the 90s. Remember turning on MTV like spring break, being like Daytona Beach, people's tops falling off, you know, and just being your parents sitting next to you on the couch like normal, right? The 90s were a wild time, Chuck. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
All right. Hey, what else kind of shit we got this week?
More?
You ever seen a sidekick KO like this? We're going to Dublin. This is Jamie Faulding in the black shorts and the white shorts. Oh, my God.
Whoa, I got to see this again.
Damn. It's like throwing a dart and hitting a bullseye. Whoa.
No, you don't really see that too often.
Sidekick from the deep, dark depths right there. That guy's not getting up, Chuck, okay? Let's roll on to, one more time for the people. No, we're in boxing over the weekend. Former heavyweight champion Joseph Parker was back, won his third straight, sending Sean Del Winters through the ropes onto the apron with a vicious 4-5-6 punch combo. I don't know, just enjoy it, Chuck.
Oh, they went the snot. Oof.
Now, he's not known as being a great finisher. He has a Burger King sponsorship in New Zealand, so shout out to that. You ever seen the middle of the ring when he fights down there? He's trying to get back in the title picture, so this was a good showcase for him. Remember, he lost the unification bout to Anthony Joshua a couple years back.
Pretty, man. Great
he also
point.
Had a bad spider bite last year that kept him out for a long time. You ever get a spider bite in
there? Never.
Yeah, it's weird, right? It's real weird. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Joe Parker.
It's beautiful, actually, man.
Speaking of KOs.
Those are nice, heavy shots.
Yeah, let's go to some logging here. We got some logging action. Sometimes you ever just want to throw a big log. Oh, my God. Throw a big log and it hits you with the ghetto blaster, Bad News Brown style. This guy is out cold.
Oh, my God. Why?
Who's filming this, right? That's what I always want to know in these situations.
It's like one of those Rex Chapman. You follow Rex Chapman?
Blocker
like
charge?
Like one of those type of things.
Wow. Shout out to At World of Kooks. Where do I find this stuff? That guy. We scattered the globe for weird pro wrestling. He's back.
Oh,
he's back.
What?
He's the smooth criminal, Chuck. He's back. Look at the kip up right there. What do you think of this? I don't know what country this is in, but it's pretty creepy to see Michael Jackson, to take out these young guys.
Now, did you find this?
He's bad.
Did you find this?
I think it found me. He's bad. Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing, man.
It doesn't matter if he's black or white. You know what I'm saying?
No,
you know?
Those moves. Not everybody has dainty ankles that can do that, you know?
I got dainty ankles.
You do.
What does that mean, though? It's weird, right? Where is this? At a mall?
At a strip mall?
It's black. It's white.
I could get down with the Michael Jackson wrestling.
Yes. So this was only the second creepiest and most dangerous thing he's ever done with young men. Can we roll the first one? Where's Blanket? You remember this, of course.
I do remember this.
Yep.
The dangle.
Oh, God.
Oh.
He put so many young people in danger. It's unbelievable, this guy. I mean, rest in peace. You don't want to talk about this. You don't want to talk about the dead with ill will. But you have a favorite MJ moment?
No, not really.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
Okay. All right. Not even the moonwalk at the...
I used to dig the moonwalk. That whole album was awesome, like the Beat It video and...
Yeah, the Thriller album. I mean, it was...
Thriller album, All that stuff
You
was
remember
cool.
second grade, you
thriller
go to a birthday
like
party?
Thriller was like an 11-minute video, right?
Thriller,
like
one of those... The Thriller vinyl was playing wherever you were.
That's crazy.
Back then, you know?
I can't even believe that he's... you watch that now and you're like...
What do you think his kids are going to grow up doing? Auctioning off his weird artwork? What do you think?
I don't know.
I could watch this all day on a loop. Have you seen this shit? Yeah, I've seen it. This is weird. Look, wow. All right, this is creepy. Hey, let's roll on to something even creepier here. Check out this guy wearing high heels. Sudden death is coming, Chuck.
Oh
get ready
God.
For it. Oh, God, what happened? Is that, I thought we weren't allowed to show death on the show. We tried to show a circus act with a snake, choked a guy out and it killed him. We couldn't
show
it on the show.
First of all, I mean, there's a lot of effort going into this.
That's a...
Like,
oh.
I mean,
I've never seen...
That's pretty impressive.
I've never seen a guy in high heels crumble like that into pieces, you know? I mean, just, damn, wow.
It's a meat shop after...
He's got good balance, though, in those heels, Chuck. How are you in those?
Not as balanced.
Not as good there. hopefully they swept that shit up, right? Get a dog out there, chew on that meat. That is not weird. That's weird. Okay.
That's very weird.
All right. Hey,
you did a good job with that, though.
Let's get something manly and badass in here. How about Mike Perry at Submission Underground, Ally Aquinta, not having it. By the way, you're looking for a condo in Long Island. Ally Aquinta will sell it to you. Don't smoke inside of it, though. He's not happy. Shades of Ricardo Mayorga, the boxing king from Nicaragua. Yeah. That is bad to the ass. Did he win the fight? I didn't see.
I don't know if he. I don't pay attention. To this
fight. Who really follows
but,
that?
But he is an interesting cat, man. I mean, this seems like the least of. I feel like he smokes year round and like drinks whenever he wants.
I think he's 2% black, so he can say the N-word too. Yeah, that's
well, he thinks
that was awful. That was awful. I can't believe he did that. All right, let's close with this. We always have hijinks to end it. Somebody's dong gets hit or something. Oh my God! Look at that guy right to the pills. Look at the reaction here, Chuck. Check out the guy in the green. He can't even handle it. What do you expect? What is this?
Vicarious puking.
You don't notice he's got the life jacket on. Can we get a?
Yeah. I don't like to see that.
We're gonna close with this day in MMA history, Chuck.
Okay.
It's been exactly 1,367 days since UFC 199.
Has it?
Do you remember when Michael Bisping pulled the upset and then he pulled apparently that
what is this?
What
is this?
I didn't mean to give you the shaft. Wow.
There's some creative types out there.
Somebody sent that. One of our fans sent that in.
Wow.
I don't know if he made it himself. I can't read the guy's name. I'm a little turned off by this.
Essentially what happened.
That is kind of what happened. He did take his manhood that night and his title. I was there. Yeah. Were you?
I was not there.
Los Angeles, 199.
Yeah, I was not there for that one.
The Forum. Yeah. Look at the look in his eye. Notice I said I. All right, here, let's get off of that. It's time, thank you in the back for dealing with all that BS. It's time for odds and ends. Chuck, I'm going to go first, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if you saw this weekend, the co-main event of that DAZN card in Texas, the great, and I knew mean great, Ramon Chocolatito Gonzalez, the former pound-for-pound king. You may remember, Chuck, at the peak of his stardom, which really was the back end of his prime, he had those two fights with Cease Risquet, Sor Rungvisai, lost a close, brutal decision. The first one got sent to hell in the rematch, had one fight in the last 2 years, but came back on Saturday to reclaim a belt at 115 against Cal Yafai, walked him down, stopped him with a beautiful, brutal one-punch KO.
I know you were excited. I saw you on Saturday.
So here's the deal. The fighters in the extreme low weight classes, and by the way, Chocolatito's won titles in three divisions. He really didn't get the fame and attention until really he was on the back half of his career, fighting in a weight that's above his head, where he's taking damage to win fights. He went in there and just reminded you of who he could be. Yafai was a little too ballsy, tried to walk in there and punch with the puncher. He got sent down. But to see a guy, I know he's only 32, but that's old for these weight classes. Yeah. To see a guy, you know, empty the jar one more time, you want to talk about the big business that could be ahead. Did you ever see his 2012 fight with Juan Francisco Estrada, who's a pound-for-pound ranked guy?
I did.
He's the king at 115. Yep. They do that rematch there?
Yeah.
How about a trilogy fight with SSR?
It seems like that's the one he wants, right? But it's understandable. Dude wants to take it back.
These lower weight classes are always under the radar, but Chocolatito is a man. He is a man. He is a king
he's
of
cool,
kings.
Man.
He is a great dude. And
was he on the he was on the McGregor Mayweather card, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't.
He would be on
the Triple G undercards for a stretch. When HBO got a hold of him, they kind of put him out there. He likes manly stuff. Do we have that in the back?
My man.
What the hell's this, Jay?
He's a dude, isn't he?
Oh, well, yeah, you know, all right. Hey, this is HR.
It's hilarious.
All right, that's it. Chuck, you got any odds and ends you want to get into? There?
You know,
we just leave that.
UFC 248 is this weekend, obviously, and Sean O'Malley.
Remember
this
guy? Yes.
23 years old last time we saw him in the cage, and he's finally returning. It's been, I think, almost 2 years. There he is. Look at him. If you remember, in that fight, his last one at UFC 222, I thought he was kind of on the verge of kind of breaking through in a new star. Reebok was putting out like tie-dye shirts about this guy.
He was like
he was doing all kinds of stuff.
Didn't he love Nate Diaz? He wanted to basically be Nate Diaz?
Yeah, every time I show him, he's got a spliff. He's always doing this stuff. I felt like he was on the verge, but for the last 2 years, he had that foot injury in the fight. And then, you know, I think he had hip surgery. He's been suspended. Like, he's been wronged because of the residual effects. He's been pulled off a card.
Don't get Luke Thomas started on your side, right?
I'm only just barely touching on this.
I can call Luke right now.
I know this is more Luke's, his domain, but it's good to have him back very, very quietly on the prelims this coming Saturday. It's kind of a crazy thing that it's been 2 years. The guy is now 25 years old. You know what's crazy is in that age range, they just took 2 years away from this guy. That's when all the stupidity is out there, right? Like, this guy would have had like four fights in that time. That's when you're stupid and you do crazy things, and it would have made him a star. I would have liked to have seen that. They took those years away from him.
I hope he built up the resolve. Yeah, I hope he stayed in the gym and is just going after it.
Yeah.
And he is a funny dude. We can see.
Yeah, so remember they were interviewing him, Joe Rogan.
If you get a tattoo before your eye, doesn't that mean you're in a gang, or is that just the teardrop?
Just means he's a star.
He's a star. All right.
That's what he said.
Chuck, do you have any tattoos?
I don't. Do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm a little afraid of needles. I don't really like, you know, I go to get a flu. I didn't even get a flu shot this year, you know.
Yeah. We're gonna, that's good.
Yeah, I don't want to get on any anti-vaccination rants here.
Here we go.
Luke will take me out there. Chuck, thank you for joining us this week.
It was fun.
We want you people out there watching and listening to us to hit us up. Can we hit up with the socials here, Jay? Can you follow us on Instagram at Morning Combat? Follow us on YouTube. We need you. Here's the deal on YouTube, all right? We're building an army here. We want you to like this video. More importantly, we want you to subscribe. If you are still watching this show, if you are still drinking from the areola every week and enjoying it, guys, can you pay it forward? Can you just click subscribe? This thing's taken off like a rocket ship, all right? Like the Challenger. We don't want to be any school teachers left behind. It's been far enough. I can make that joke.
Yeah.
It's been long enough. We want to see this thing take off to the stratosphere. So do your part in that. And follow this gentleman right here.
They just
Chuck Mendenhall or something.
Very simple.
The Man and the Myth podcast.
Man and the Myth, yeah.
TheAthletic.com. We love your work, Chuck. The people love you. You know what I'm saying? You have a scary, almost Arash Markazi level Q rating with the
you
people.
Think so?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go quite that far.
That guy's a man.
He's
of
got
the people.
Restaurants in Vegas that like name meals.
I know. I've eaten his.
That's
I've eaten it. All right, that's the show for this week. Sorry if we creeped you out at all. Luke Thomas will be back next week, and as you guys know, 248 this weekend. Giant things to come. Morning Combat will be with you as we head into Tony Khabib season. As we head into Wilder Fury 3, this is going to be the year for combat sports.
Yep.
MMA and boxing together, the consummation station. I'm right in the middle of it, okay?
Let's hope it all happens.
Yes, let's hope. I got nothing else to add.
That's it.
No, you got any instructions for people?
I think you've said plenty.
Spay to neuter their animals, anything?
We bringing that back?
No, Bob. All right. That died with Bob. Is he still alive? Price is wrong, bitch. Is he dead, Jay?
No.
He had that long, real thin microphone. That was a little creepy, right? He'd always like hold it like it was like a joint.
Yeah,
like get him a roach clip. Yeah, he's like. I bet. Did he ever touch those women on that show?
Oh my God. He'd be a fool not to.
Very very hands-on approach. Very Harvey W.
Get us in trouble with these little extra things.
I know. Weinstein. Who didn't kill himself? The other guy didn't kill himself. Epstein.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, shout out to our team here, guys. A lot of Andy Kings in here. They'll take one for the team if they need to. I really appreciate that, that hunger out of them. I'm lingering, but the show is over. May all your hoes be loyal or something like that. May hopes and dreams get in the weight room, whatever you got to do here. A lot of people call me a chubby Lance Bass. It's time to get in shape, all right?
Yeah.
It's time. The spring's coming. Swimsuit season is going to be on the horizon before you know it. Morning Combat is the show. There's nothing else like this, okay? Until they cancel it, and then there'll be nothing left. But for now, we are Hot Fire. Thank you. We out.